Let me read some scripture. Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5. I meant to give this to Terry this morning, but just didn't get there for a call to worship. But I want to read it now. It's a familiar text. We even sing about it. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. Isn't that a great thought? I love it. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, his faithfulness to all generations, to all generations. Remember Psalm 107? It's actually one of my favorite psalms. I didn't give it to you, but you can see you scrambling back there. I didn't give you this verse. But Psalm 107, I preached on it before and kind of laid out the big structure. It speaks of how God delivers, how he delivers people from like trouble and disaster and sin and the pit, like hell. God does this. And here's the refrain. Four times in this psalm, it says this, and I love it. It says, after he delivers, it says, let them give thanks, you who are delivered. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. Four times it says this in Psalm 107. I want to give thanks to the Lord this morning. Obviously, you realize we're not Matthew this morning. I knew we wouldn't be here 2 weeks ago. I was putting this together. I want to give thanks to the Lord this morning. As Thomas Watson said years ago, he said this, and he puts it so well, he's so quotable. He says, they who have been monuments of God's mercies will be trumpets of his praise. And that's what we should be. Have you experienced God's mercy, right? They who have been in this way monuments of God's mercies shall be trumpets of his praise. That's what we should be, trumpets of the praise of God. I want to trumpet the Lord's praise this morning. Just briefly, I want to trumpet the praise of our God this morning with a little testimony of his greatness. That's what I want to share with you, a little testimony of God's greatness. I want to point us to Holy Scripture, of course, in a way that I hope blesses you as well. So you have heard, obviously, you've heard by now that my father passed away recently. And I do want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the little Facebook blurbs and the texts and the cards and so forth. I want to thank you for that. And you know, I am thankful that I got to share Christ with my dad. I got to share Christ with him. We grew up going to church. A lot of you know. I grew up Roman Catholic. We grew up going to church. I mean, we went to church. I heard about the reality of God. And this is not a mystery. It's not like, you know, you don't hear these things. And for millennia, you know, Catholic churches talked about this. I grew up believing in the reality of God. I heard about the birth of Christ, the passion of Christ, the resurrection of Christ from the dead. We knew, you know, we knew the Our Father, you know. We knew the Apostles' Creed. You know, we knew those things. We had those all memorized. I didn't hear, though, like on a given Sunday, like things we evangelicals, we take for granted. Like hearing preaching like rooted in the text of Scripture. Like expounded. We take it for granted. We take the gospel, like the fact that we hear the gospel. We take it for granted as evangelical Christians, and talking about the gospel, that we're dead in trespasses and sins, that we are worthy of hell. Not just worthy of it, like we deserve it. We actually deserve hell, but God saves by grace those with faith in Christ, who was crucified for our sins, right? Crucified for our sins, rose again for our justification to make us righteous with the living God. I didn't hear that. I never put that together. So a couple of years ago, as my dad, his dementia, his heart disease, the medical induced fog that he was in by these, you know, all these pills you take that kind of clash together, and you know, left arm doesn't know what the right arm's doing, and these things come together, and this medical fog he was in, as it got worse, much worse. And you could see he was going to go. You know, I started asking the Lord for an opportunity to speak to my dad, like very specifically, pointedly, to speak to him. Religion was like a kind of private thing to him. We did the stuff. We didn't talk about these things necessarily, religious things. But I wanted to speak to my dad about Christ, and I. 2 years ago, I booked a trip to Florida. I just went down myself. I booked a trip, and I prayed for like months that I'd be, Lord, oh, let me speak to my dad. Set up the time that I'd be able to speak to my dad. And I went down to Florida to talk to him. When I got there, I prayed every day. Got up every morning and prayed, oh Lord, give me the time to speak to him. Let it be the right time. Several days went by and it was just the wrong time. It was just the wrong time. He wasn't in the mental frame to even entertain a serious conversation. And then one night, I know, here's another weird thing. One night, I had this dream, right? I dreamt that my dad initiated with me. That my dad came to me and was like imploring me to tell him about Jesus. And I woke up and I just rolled out of bed. I told some of you the story. I rolled out of bed, I hit my knees, and I just prayed for the Lord's help, because I was like, today's the day. Today is the day I'm going to talk to my dad. I knew it. I felt it. And my dad got up that day, and let me tell you, it was the worst day he had the entire time I was there. The worst day he had. He was hallucinating. His thoughts were all over the map. You couldn't have a serious conversation. He wasn't making sense. It was terrible, terrible, worst day all week. And then that afternoon, I remember he took a little nap, and he got up and took a shower and changed his clothes, and he came out of his room, not just with a fresh exterior, but with like a fresh interior. Mentally engaged. It was like my dad returned. It was the best day of the week. It was like my dad returned. He was lucid, pensive, and with deep, deep emotion, my dad initiated with me. I mean, he initiated with me. He came out, he plopped on the couch next to me. There was no one with us. My mom went to, you keep an eye on dad. I'm gonna go get myself ready. And my dad just opened up. He just opened up, and he talked about how he first remembered him getting this they call it Lewy body dementia, difference with Alzheimer's and, and regular dementia. It's like you're losing your mind and you don't really realize it. It comes a point you don't even realize it. But Lewy body dementia, you're losing it and you know it. I mean, you know it. And he was talking about when he first realized this was happening, and he was talking about his mortality. He could see the writing on the wall, where this was heading, or where this bus gets off, you know. And I mean, with deep emotion, tears in his eyes, rolling down his cheeks. I'm not going to be there for you guys. I'm not going to be there. With deep emotion, I said, Dad, this is exactly what I want to talk to you about. It was an answer to prayer. God is good. God is good. This is exactly what I want to talk to you about. And I spoke to him about Christ from Scripture. I was quoting different things to him, how we all deserve, I mean, deserve with capital D. We deserve God's judgment, but God sent his Son, and Jesus willingly came. It wasn't forced. Nobody's twisting his arm. Jesus willingly came. I willingly laid down my life. Jesus said, no one takes it from me. Willingly. He was crucified in our place. In our place. Died for our sins. He rose again on the third day that all who, and I'll use the word, who trust in him. I've said before, when we read things like John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, that word believes, in the Greek, it carries the import of three English words, to believe, to have faith, to trust. In our modern day, I think trust is probably a better word. A lot of times we think of belief, we're like, I believe in God, I believe God exists. And the Bible says the devil believes that too. That doesn't make you a Christian. When it speaks of this belief, it's talking about your faith in Christ, placing your trust in this Jesus. Not your goodness. I told my dad this. Not your goodness. Not in your accomplishments. Not in all the good things you've done. And my dad was a good dad. He was a good dad. He had a good marriage, he was kind, he was sacrificial, but he needs Christ too. He needs Christ. And I told him to trust in this Christ, not in his goodness, not in his righteous, self-righteous deeds, but in the person and sacrificial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the ones who are saved. Those are the ones who are reconciled to the Father. Those are the ones who are with him after death. Remember, Jesus said to the thief on the cross, what great things had this man done who was being crucified next to Jesus? Nothing at all, right? And he said, today you will be with me in paradise. Today you will be with me in paradise. Not because of his goodness, but because of Christ. But because of Christ. Those are the ones that pass from death onto life in Jesus. Those are the ones who get the resurrection onto life, which realize that doesn't happen when you die. It happens when Jesus returns. That's when it comes. We're meant to be united again with a new resurrected body. Your spirit may go to heaven, but our body will be reunited with our spirit, a new body. And these are the ones who get the resurrection of life, not because of works, but because of Christ. Because of Christ. Martin Luther said this, quote, he said, the most damnable and pernicious heresy that has ever plagued the mind of man is the idea that somehow we can make ourselves good enough to deserve to live with an all-holy God. We can't do it. We cannot do this. We can never make ourselves good enough to live with an all-holy God. But praise be to God that Christ
can. Christ can. He does what nobody can do. I asked my dad very pointedly, 3 times I went through to make sure he understood this very pointedly. I asked my dad to trust in Christ 2 years ago. And he did. I remember, I do, Dean, I will. I will. Do you know the rest of the time I was there, this is 2 years ago, the rest of the time I was there, I think it was around Easter time, but there was kind of like a made for TV Jesus show that came on. I don't remember what it was. I didn't see it. But I remember the commercials, because we'd sit down at night, my brother, his wife, my mom, and this commercial would come on for this Jesus show that was going to be on TV, you know, about the resurrection, I bet, because it was around Easter. And every time that commercial came on, my dad would look over at me, try to catch my eye, because he's private about this stuff. And he'd look over, you know, to his son, the minister, you know, and he'd go like this to the TV, go like, there he is, there's the Lord, you know, there's Jesus, like this little moment that we shared. It was just, there he is, Dean. There he is. It was so beautiful. It's just so beautiful. I want to give thanks to the Lord. Psalm 107, the words of Psalm 107. I want to give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. Doesn't God do great things? Oh, he does such great things in life. Not in your time frame, not in my time frame, in his time frame. Very different from ours. Very different. God does great things. I also want to thank God, and I'm thinking a lot about my family this past couple of weeks, but I want to thank the Lord as well. Because despite all of the bleakness, I mean, it's so good to be, you know, no ropes in the benches. Isn't this great? No masks. This is really cool. Do you know that despite all of the bleakness of this last year, COVID-19 and all this stuff, I want to thank God for it. If you can't find anything to be thankful over and it was just disaster year for you, all right, you know, maybe look a little deeper. Maybe the Lord's doing something there. In everything, give thanks. I think that's in the Bible, I'm pretty sure. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's not like, oh, I thank God that people were harmed, or it was hurtful at church, but there's got to be something. There's got to be something that we can turn and give God praise for. And this COVID-19, it was hard. It was hard. It was hard for the church. Here's something that was great for my family. Great. I thank God for it. I thank God. I'll give you the background. As long as Kendra and I have been married, 37 years in October, as long as we have been married, we have lived at least 1,000 miles. That's probably like the short distance from family. We have never lived by either side of the family. We've always lived far away. Always. I even saw cousins this week. I haven't seen in 20 years. You know, it's funny. We don't have like reunions and, you know, big reunions every. Yeah. Anyway, we've always lived far away. I've been a pastor just about 25 years. And do you know that? I mean, you hear me every week. You know, we're used to me talking. Before COVID-19, you realize my parents have heard me speak 2 or 3 times in 25 years. They don't live near us. So here we are, COVID-19. They're not in good health, you know, and they're cooped up. Their church doesn't have live stream, but guess who does? My parents watched the live streams all year, more than a year.
They read all the Wednesday words, all of them. I'd hear from them, you know. I'd hear from them about things. You know, it was kind of cool. My mom would read the Wednesday words to my dad. I don't know if you remember my cousin Eric, who I saw this past week. I said, my cousin Eric, that my dad said, it's the invisible man, Eric. You remember that one Wednesday word? You can check it if you don't remember. It's in there. My dad, you know, short-term memory was just gone. Long-term was great, and he just laughed his head off because he remembers doing that, you know. But I'd hear about the Wednesday words with them. They would watch all the live streams and everything. I preached a sermon this year. I thought this was the coolest thing. I must have said, repent and believe, 5 times in this sermon from Matthew. Do you know that my mom texted me after the sermon and said, I repent and I believe, ! It clicked. The personal information on Facebook, you know, about the person, you can go in, about my mom, it says this, God's my Savior. All of a sudden, I started noticing personal conversation. Instead of speaking only, there's nothing wrong with the term God, but instead of speaking merely with the generic term God, realize anybody can use the word God, and they may not be talking about the same person you are. But all of a sudden, I noticed my mom going from the term God, El in the Hebrew, or we say longer, Elohim, right? But El. All of a sudden, she was talking about the Lord. All right, there's the covenant name, Yahweh, being Hebrew, Kurios in the Greek. All of a sudden, she's using like the covenant name. You see what I'm saying? It was like, all of a sudden, I could hear a switch in the vocabulary, and I'm like, when did this happen? You know what? When did this happen? And oh, church, listen, for the blooming flowers in the dry desert of COVID-19, I want to give thanks to the Lord. I want to praise the Lord for His loving kindness and for His wonders to the sons of men. God is good. He is good. And often when we don't think, yeah, it's not what we want. It's not what we want. Oh, maybe we should look deeper too. God is not confined to our circumstances. He is on the move. He does as He pleases in the world of men. Also want to praise the Lord. And let me swing it to the gospel. And maybe in a little different way, but kind of where I began this morning, and I'll close with this, but I want to praise the Lord once again, especially funerals, you're reminded of these things again and again. I want to praise the Lord that in Jesus there is ultimate hope. Listen, everyone's dying. Everybody is. You're dying. Everybody's dying. But there is ultimate hope in Jesus. Amen? Ultimate hope, even if life goes awry, even if you don't get the fair shake you think you should have in this life, even if it blows up in your face, even if your stinking body falls apart, live long enough, it will. Even if your mind fails and you lose it and it disappears, and even if you die a miserable, miserable death, there's hope in Christ. It's beyond now. This is not heaven. It's beyond now. There is hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. But realize this great stuff, it doesn't come to just anybody. Realize, it doesn't come to everybody. It doesn't come to everybody, but only those who place their faith, their trust in this Jesus. Those are the ones who pass over like the thief from death to life. Those are the ones who experience the resurrection the resurrection unto life, the good resurrection on to life. Kind of like in John 11, John chapter 11, remember Jesus speaking at another funeral, by the way. John 11, this is Lazarus. Jesus comes 4 days late for the funeral, and it goes on for, you know, it wasn't just a day back then, it was over several days, but Jesus comes in, and people are grieving, people are sad. Remember, Jesus talks to Martha, and he says these words, and I posted this on my Facebook right after I heard my dad had passed away, because I love this verse, speaks of the resurrection. Jesus is talking to Martha, and says this, John 11, 25, Jesus said to her, you know, he's asking her, and she said, there is a resurrection. I believe in the resurrection and so forth. And Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection. I love that. I am the resurrection. It's kind of like, you know, former kings of England of old who could say, I am England. Listen, Jesus says, I am the resurrection. It's all bound up in a person. It's all bound up in Christ. I am the resurrection and the life. And I love it. He who believes in me, there's the belief again, having faith and trust in him. Not just that he existed, trust in him. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. Even if he dies. In Jesus, there is wholeness. In Jesus, there is reconciliation. There is the undoing of the curse. There is the resurrection of the dead. The resurrection of the dead in the Lord Jesus Christ. And just to show that Jesus can pull this off, you remember how this goes. Remember what Jesus does here? Just to show that he can pull this off. He will be pulling this off one day when he returns. He raises Lazarus from the dead. Just to show what Jesus will do at the appointed day, the appointed hour when he returns. No wonder 1 Corinthians 15 says this, 15, 55 through 57. It goes like this. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. That's like right out of Romans. The power of sin is the law. And I've said before, realize the law doesn't tell you how great you are. It tells you how bad you failed, right? The power of sin is the law. Paul said, I got the law and I died. I died. But you're in trouble. You're in trouble. But look what it says next, verse 57. It says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, not through you. He gives us the victory over death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody ever seen the movie, The Princess Bride? You know what I'm talking about, The Princess Bride? All right. It's like any other movie, right? Good. If you haven't seen it, I imagine most of you have, right? There's good guys, there's bad guys, and so forth. There's a villain in that called the Six-Fingered Man. Remember him? The Six-Fingered Man. He's a bad guy. He's a bad guy. He killed Inigo Montoya's father, remember? He killed him, and I mean for nothing, because he's a bad guy. And everywhere the six-fingered man goes, he leaves a trail of death and woe in his wake. Everywhere he goes. And one of the heroes of the story, Inigo Montoya, He has been training all his life to meet the six-fingered man, remember? To put him 6 feet under. This is what he's doing. He even has this, you know, he's a master sword fighter, and he even has this speech he's rehearsed. He must say it 50 times, you know, in the movie, remember? He's a Spaniard, and he goes, Hello. My name is, this is what he wants to say to the six-fingered guy, Hello. My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. And he finally meets this six-fingered man at the climax of the movie. And you remember this incredible sword fight ensues with this, you know, theatrical music and dun, dun, and he says it 50 more times, you know, hello. And he's going on and on. And then finally, he kills the six-fingered man. And you're glad of it. Even you, with Mennonite roots, you are glad that he killed the six-fingered man because you want to see this vile enemy defeated. And church scripture tells us that the anointed king, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, he defeats the enemy. He defeats him. He is the one who crushes the head of the serpent, Satan. Remember in Genesis? This is the beginning of the book, the beginning of the whole book. He is the serpent slayer. He will crush the head of the enemy. The New Testament says that he will soon crush Satan under your feet, the one who has been such a troubler to you and I. He crushes the head of the serpent. Jesus defeats sin, the enemy of sin. Jesus defeats the final enemy of death. Jesus does. He defeats, he destroys it. And it's all bound up in Jesus. It's all bound up in the Lord Jesus Christ. But again, this victory is not granted to all. It's not granted to all. It comes by grace, right? You're blessed in an evangelical church. You have heard this 1,000 times. It's plain. It's plain. Christ. It's all through him. God, by grace, through faith in Christ, he grants this life. As Jesus said, let me go back to John 11 again, 25 and 26. Jesus said to her, to Martha, concerning her brother who's dead, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Not in the ultimate sense. You pass from death unto life. You will not be a partaker in Christ of the frightening second death spoken of at the end of the book of Revelation. You don't partake of that in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. And it says, do you believe this? Martha, in the next verse, Martha did. She believes. 2 years ago, my dad did. He believed. I believe it. I hope you believe it. I know many of you do. I hope you believe. And if you do, let's go forward. And I've said things like this at the end of sermons. Let's go forward. You believe. I believe. Oh, then let's go forward to love one another and serve God together. Not to earn anything. You're not earning salvation. It's not what you do. It's what Jesus done did. Right? It's back there. Out of gratitude, we're to love one another and love the living God. We're to sacrifice. We're to lay aside ourselves out of gratitude for the living God. And if we believe this, oh, let's be vocal about this Jesus. Why keep this the best secret of your life? Why not share the wealth? Maybe there's someone you can share this Jesus with. And if we believe, let's praise God. Oh my goodness. I know, listen, there's a lot of things that can just upset you in the world. That's why I watch almost no news at all. Listen, there's a lot of things that you can get upset about in the world. But man, there's a lot of things we can praise God for too. And the Bible really makes a big deal about parking there. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit, you know, joy. And it should erupt, joy should erupt forth in praise for our
our God. Because, and let me quote Watson again, those who have been monuments of God's mercy will be trumpets of his praise. And that's what we should be, trumpets, like doo-doo-doo, now hear this. We should trumpet forth the praise of God. If not Christians, good grief, who will? You can get enough glum in the world. Christians are to have more. We're to have more. Let us trumpet God's praise. Because, man, we have a lot to be glad about. We really do. We have a lot to be glad about. So as we go forth, praise the Lord. Remember those three things there. And praise him. We're going to sing together. Man, belt it out. I don't like this song. Who cares? You know? Maybe God does. Maybe we want to bless him or somebody else next to you. Maybe it's their favorite song. And they'll be blessed by hearing you belt it out. You know what I mean? It's not about us. It's not about us. And let's sing unto the Lord. Praise the Lord and go forth and let's bless his name and praise him.